Good morning, everybody. We're going to start our study on Isaiah today. We're in chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 comes up with these images of streams in the desert, water gushing forth in the wilderness. All these scenes of renewal and restoration, all the things that gives us are kind of contain all the blessings God wants to give us. Summarizes the things of God's heart that is his desire to give us the things we really need. See, many images, the whole chapter covers these images, things in the desert, as a deliberate paradox. Life in unexpected places, new life. Also, just the finishes with the image of the highway of the redeemed. We'll finish with this image in a little while. Last time we read through Eshu chapter 33, God's call, you who are far away, just hear as God rises above a fallen world. Just acknowledge what God has done. Acknowledge his desire to give us what we need, his desire to reconcile us with himself. His desire is not to punish us, not to scold us, just to reconcile us with himself. His consuming fire is not meant as a threat, it's actually meant as a promise. His consuming fire can refine us, purify us. Also said, those who walk by faith can find refuge and nourishment. It's promised that our eyes will see the King in his beauty. God promises when you just take the time to seek him, he can make his nature clear to us. Everyone has preconceptions of God, but God himself can explain who he really is, explain what he's really all about. Set aside the human misconception about God. He can turn our times of terror into peace. It has the image of a peaceful abode with untroubled rivers and where no one is ill and where our sins are forgiven. After that, we're in chapter 34, this imagery of the starry host falling, the stars and the planets falling out of the sky, a fearful image of tumult, a fearful image of the upheaval that God can bring to the world at any time, of course, in the final days. But more than that, he's promised us to get rid of the things that are really in his way to know us. He uses Edom as a symbol of sin. His prophecies sound like a threat against the nation of Edom, but it actually meant a threat against sin itself. Not to punish sinners, but to punish sin, which took place, of course, on the cross. The image of land being drenched in blood is not a horrifying prophecy. It's more a promise of the land will be drenched with the blood of Jesus. Jesus poured out his blood. The world is now drenched with Jesus' blood, making it very easy to all of us to come and have contact with his blood. At the end of it, had a kingdom, figure of speech, a kingdom of animals. His spirit gathers together the animals, desert animals, mountain animals, gather them together because we're all animals. Each of us some kind of strange creature, but God gathers together because when he gets rid of all our sin, our idolatry, then we can come together. God gathers together with his spirit. With this in mind, Frank is going to lead us in a short prayer, then we'll pick up on Isaiah 35.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for another beautiful fall day and for just what we see around us as we are outside, as we travel down the highway. We see the beauty of the leaves and as they're going through their change, and we know, Father, that this is all a design from you, that you are the creator of our earth and just have given us so much to admire when we look around and see what we can see if we look every day. Father, this morning too we pray for all of those in our country who have been affected by violence in a variety of ways. And Father, we just ask you to comfort them, to share a love upon them, and to let them know that you are there through all these trials that they're going through. Be with us this morning, Father, as we study from the book of Isaiah, and be with Mark as he teaches the class. Help us, Father, to toss aside those things that may take our mind away from the lesson, and that we might get the most out of it, and we can apply it to our daily lives. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and through his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're going to read the first couple of verses and then talk about it. This chapter is packed with images, packed with promises, packed with lots of things to give us hope. So take it a little slowly this time. Just start by reading just the first two verses. Jenny can read the first two verses. Normally I'm saving the next section for you.
Okay. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God.
Thank you. This starts this imagery of the desert blossoming, blooming, finding new life in the barren places. The promise is, of course, you think about if we're walking in the desert, all of a sudden, all kind of flowers pop up around you. What would you think? Has to be God, right? Only God could do this. Either you have the wrong map someplace. You see, exactly, yeah. Wandering around a desert, nothing to drink, nothing but barren sands, nothing but little scraps of vegetation here and there. But all of a sudden, all these things start to blossom and bloom. Both surprising, both encouraging. At the same time, you realize only God could do this. This God is trying to say, God does this in places where only God could work. Does things only God can do. That's what concludes this passage with. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. This is the way God makes his splendor known. Through doing things that no one else could do for someone, for the nation, for communities, for the world. Only things that God could have done. Not something any human ingenuity could have done, any human effort could have done. What gives God splendor, something that only God himself could have done. Use a weak person to do something useful. Teach us a lesson when we're completely confused. Comfort us when we're undergoing our worst anxieties. Let's think about this image a little more. Use several words here. Desert, wilderness, later it talks about wastelands. These are all the places that, what comes to mind to think of? Desert, wasteland, wilderness. Barren? And that's comes to mind. Nice place to visit, but don't want to live there. That's how you don't want to spend much time there. Take a look, nice scenery. I'm going home now. Where can creature comforts? What else comes to mind? That's probably the best one. What else comes to mind? With a desert, a wasteland, a wilderness.
No water.
Without water, what else do you not have?
Life.
No life. Very few creatures. Very few plants. All these things because it's. Now, what is this desert? Where is this desert you're talking about? Where is this wasteland?
It's our soul.
We're living in it. This world is a spiritual desert, spiritual wasteland. You can find something here and there, but most of the time when you live your daily lives, you see a lot of things that are just distractions, discouragements, it might face fears, disappointments. This world is a spiritual desert. God's promise is, even though you live in this desert, what can God do?
Make it bloom.
Make it blossom. Bring things to life. Now, does that mean God will lift us up and take us to a better place where everyone is happy to be with God, everything goes perfectly?
Mark,
no.
I have a couple of crocus plants in my front yard, and sometimes, you know, we'll have snow on the ground, but the temperature, God takes the temperature just right, and those crazy little flowers will bloom with snow all around them.
Yeah.
With snow on them. It's absolutely amazing.
Get a minute, yeah, because
uses crocuses here.
We'll come to crocus. Very good. We'll come to crocus. Today, we're again between crocuses and cacti. We're giving equal time to Steve's botanical buddies. The flowers is a good image. What does a flower want to do?
It wants to bloom.
Wherever it is, give the flower a little bit of chance. What does it do? Put it in harsh situations. All of a sudden, little warmth. What does the flower want? I'm ready to bloom. That's what God wants to do. God realizes we live in a dreary place, dreary lives full of discouragement, frustrations. God just itching to give us something to make us feel his presence. Just itching to give us something to make us feel his compassion for us. Just wanting to do something for us. Not necessarily God's not going to let you win the lottery, give you a fancy home. Does something much better. So as we proceed, think about what kind of blossoms does God produce for us? What kind of blooms does God do for us? Not big fancy things, but peace is much better than a fancy house. Peace is much better than having a fancy car. Peace, harmony, the peace of knowing that God knows us, He cares for us, He accepts us. God?
He uses us as light to affect the world around us and hopefully make wherever we are a better place.
Virtue. We could actually be a blossom for somebody. Listen, little blossom, there's someone who cares about you. As simple as that. Not do something great, but just to be some place people will see a little light, like the moon. The moon reflects the sun's light. We can't be the light, but we can reflect God's light to people. Be a blossom for somebody. Another good one. Nancy?
I think it gives us delight. It's just like if you see that flower out there in the barren. It's so delightful.
Yeah. God has caused us contrast to create things like that. They're more effective when they're in a barren place. Light is more appreciated when it comes in the darkness. Nice breeze of cool air comes is most appreciated when hot, stuffy place. God bears this contrast to be, this is the way God wants to be for us. Wants to be our light in the darkness, our water in the desert, bring us blossoms in the wasteland. It talks about this, the crocus here. The crocus, of course, is a plant that we're known for something. Most flowers come out springtime. The crocus blossoms in autumn. Now, some crocuses actually, I think, blossom in springtime as usual, but many crocuses blossom in autumn, not in spring. The kind of crocus that was native to Israel was an autumn blossoming crocus. Every autumn, when everything else is dying, all the flowers are gone, leaves are turning kind of colors, all of a sudden, crocuses decide, I think it's time for us to blossom. Blossoms come out. Even today in the Israel and the surrounding nations, autumn rains bring out all kind of crocuses, pop out. Blooms, a reminder, no matter how barren the landscape looks, God's still there. God gives us crocuses in unexpected places, unexpected times. That's what he's talking about here. With this in mind, take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about what God does for us, what the Spirit does for us, the blessings of having His Spirit living in us, and the things it does for us. Romans 8, actually the whole chapter, good chapter to study sometime, because Romans 8 talks a lot about this new life, the renewal that God gives us. But just pick out a couple of verses here to cover. Where do you have this? Can you read just verses 9 through 11 for us?
You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you.
Thank you. This talks about two realms. The scripture Rene just read talks about two realms. Which realms does it talk about?
Spirit.
Realm of flesh and realm of the Spirit. Which one are we living in right now? Trick question. Yeah, because we're stuck in the realm of flesh, which it paralleled Isaiah. We're stuck in the desert, the wasteland. We have no choice. But we do have the choice to let God give us a Spirit. God gives us a Spirit. What realm do we live in? Well, the Spirit, of course. As I'm sure you remember from Philippians, though we have to live in this world, everyone who has to live in a certain nation of this world will already become citizens of heaven. A citizen but now in heaven. Likewise, even though we're stuck in physically stuck in the realm of the flesh, we can become part of the realm of the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do for us in Romans 8? What does it tell the Spirit does for us?
Gives life.
In spite of the fact that we're
living in the realm of
death. Realm of death, realm of flesh, realm of sin. Your body is subject to death because of sin. We can't get out of that. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. They will also give life to our mortal bodies because the Spirit lives in us. God's life is actually living within us. That the blessing of life within us. A blessing of life that has many implications, many, many blessings. And often we take it for granted because we more interested in the mundane things, more worried about whether a team wins, more worried about whether get the promotion, whether have enough money to pay our taxes, worried about those things. God is more worried about giving us this kind of life, the life that brings peace, life that brings something meaningful to live for. This is why it says, in this way we can see the glory and the splendor of the Lord. God's glory is revealed in the darkness, in the barrenness. That's what God can give glory and splendor. Now we're ready to move on in Isaiah 35. I reserve this for Norma. I know she already expressed her a special appreciation of this passage.
I really appreciate that all of 35. It really shows the love of God, how much He really loves us.
It really does.
He's showing Himself.
Really, it tells us about God's nature, tells us God's heart, is a desire for us. With that in mind, can you read verses 3 to 7 for us?
Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lamb leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Waters will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the hunts where the jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow.
Thank you. This continues the images of these wonderful things happening even in this barren land, even in these as it's called, the burning sands. Talks about the things that, take a look first at verses 3 and 4. What kind of things does he promise in these verses? Just general promises. What kind of things does he promise?
Strengthening
the weak. Strength, because being strengthened means more to someone who's weak. Being strengthened someone weak, they appreciate it. Very good. What else do we see here?
Taking away fear.
Yeah, gives that kind of reassurance. Don't be afraid, because your God is going to come. Be strong. God is going to be with you. The simple reassurance that, once again, it's easy for us to forget it in the tumult of daily life. Once in a while, bears taking some time to remind yourself, God's with us. He's right there. He's with us. He understands. He sees. He knows. Remind yourself once in a while, because that's what God tells us, that we don't have to fear, because God is going to be with us. Whatever happens in this world, God will be with us, getting us through it. He'll be with us. He'll never write us off. Very good. Anything else?
Who is the person who is supposed to strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees that give way? I mean, is that an implication imploring God to do that, or is that something?
I think so. Yeah,
you're asking God to strengthen the feeble hands and steady the knees.
I think so, yeah. Because really, God can only do that.
Yeah.
All of us, our knees give way, our heart, even a psalm says, our hearts and our flesh both faint. Can't rely on either one. God can strengthen them, because whole imagery tells us the difference that God's presence makes. The blessing, just knowing that God is with us, can bring to us. That's a good question.
The reason I ask is because it reminds me If I have my other Bible, I can find that, but I don't know where it is. I haven't learned this Bible yet to know where it is. Where it's either in Hebrews or in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, strengthen weak knees so that that which is lame may not be put out of joint. And there he's talking about the brotherhood encouraging and strengthening each other. And
yeah, that's in Hebrews. Yeah,
Hebrews,
that's in Hebrews.
Hebrews,
yeah, it's a exhortation. Let God strengthen you individually and as a group. Let us God strengthen us, because once again, come back to the image of the Spirit, the way the Spirit gives us life, renewal, reassurance, all these things at once that can really only come from God. And also says there's something paradoxical. God, when God comes, take a look at the end of verse 4. We saw this last time, what it means. Well worth reviewing. In verse 4, God will come. He'll come with
vengeance.
Come with divine retribution. All of a sudden, we're threatening images. Uh-oh, who's God going to take vengeance on?
Sin
itself. Talked about this last time. Compare it with Isaiah 34, verse 8. Once more, see, the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of retribution. When was God's day of vengeance? Crucifixion day. That was God's day of vengeance. What was God's year of retribution? The year of God's favor that Jesus brought. God took his vengeance out on sin. Didn't take it on any sinner, but took it out on sin itself. Only way God to do that was to take it out on Jesus. Jesus endured that vengeance, that retribution. So there's a promise here. Once more, we see these messianic images. God's going to come. He's going to take vengeance on your real enemy. Not your earthly enemies. Your real enemy has always been sin. Earthly enemy has always been sin, because sin is the thing that can take away your real life, what really matters. Take away your relationship with God. That after that, it comes to these images, eyes being open, blind will see, the lame will leap like a deer. Think about these images too. Someone is lame, all of a sudden leaping like a deer. What will you think if that happens?
When Jesus comes
back. Only God could do that. Only God can make a lame leap like a deer. And as Norma points out, it gives us something to think about, because most of us go over our daily lives. Most of the time we have to live through drudgery, sometimes disappointments. All of a sudden something can make you leap like a deer when you realize that only have come from God. God tells you something that swipes away all the worldly distractions, wipes away all the things you're worried about, all the things you want to do that you're never going to get done. Where things someone is going to do, they'll do whether you like it or not. All the bad things are going to happen, they're going to happen in spite of it. God all of a sudden brings us something to make you leap like a deer, because you realize this world can't really take away the things that really matter. Things that really matter, no one can take them in the way. No one can do anything about it. Because water is gushing forth in the wilderness. Water is gushing forth because even in spite of this desert, there's still water everywhere. It's hard to find sometimes. So God was waiting to let his water gush out on you. This is where we come to our example of the cactus. Cactuses, of course, are famed for living in the desert. Just put three different kinds of cactus on here for you botanical fans. Saguaro cactus, probably this one, of course, the famous desert cactus. Big hunk of green in the middle of sand and dreariness. Reminder, remember, every animal tells a story from God. Every plant tells a story from God, too. Walking through the desert, all to see this big green thing. Something had to give this thing life. What does it need to have this life? What's a basic ingredient?
Water,
of course. Had to soak up water from someplace. Where did it get this water? Yeah, good question. Prickly pear cactus, actually, these plants have these beautiful, beautiful blossoms in the middle of the desert. All of a sudden, come across with these nice, bright green stems, all these beautiful, beautiful rosy blossoms on there. Beautiful plant. Golden bear cactus, kind of different, just a squat little thing, but well, it was very dazzling golden green all over it. Dazzling image of the middle of the desert. These things in the middle of the desert remind us this kind of thing God can do to us. God has these beautiful creations. They tell a story too. The cactuses have hollow stems that can collect this water. Also, they have these roots, many, many, many roots. Think about a cactus. When does it get? When does it have the chance to collect water?
Only when it rains.
Only when it can get water. No water running through the sands. But when it rains, what would a reasonable cactus want to do then? As much as it can get, right? There's two. Cactus has two choices. Not two choices. Philosophically, you could send out some long, thick roots, or we could send out little roots. Logically, what would you think? Big hulking root. Cactus actually chooses, no, I'm going to send out lots of many little tiny delicate very thin roots. What does it do that?
It has more things to absorb it.
Yeah, absorb the surface. Scientifically, surface area means more absorption. Big root, don't get much benefit from a big thick root. Weight is not going to be there very long. Soak it up as quickly as possible. Soak it all up quickly. Since there's all these little tiny roots, the cactus has the ability to grow roots quickly when it starts raining. And when it starts raining, the cactus realizes, this is time. Send out as many roots as it can, these tiny little roots to collect all the water that I can get. Afterwards, roots kind of pose a pair because as roots can absorb water, what else can they do?
Lose it.
The cactus said, okay, roots are with purpose. I'll let them wither because that's why they're tiny. No, don't need them anymore. Let's let them grow out. Need them next time. Think about this now spiritually. The cactus takes advantage of every little thing it can get. We can be like cactuses because, think of this image, cactus sends it little roots, as many as it can. What does it tell us about our spiritual lives? Or does it tell us anything? These little roots just itching to collect little water here and there, and it accumulate in a big barrel of water here. Dot?
Oh, well, I'm just thinking. I'm not ready to speak yet.
Okay.
Mark, I'm thinking we have to always be prepared to nourish our spiritual life any way we can, and there's got to be times where it's dry, parched.
Because
you're going to have the good times coming. So nourish yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
During the dry time, hopefully, you've got enough reserve to remain.
And that's the second half. We'll come back to that later. Hit both sides of it. What you said is very true. Have to be aware when there's nourishment out there. You guys, oh, dirty world, nothing to help, any hope in. I'll just despair until something comes along. Remember what it said God is already doing for us? Blossom here and there? We see those, what should we do? Send out roots, as many roots as you can. Absorb it quickly. Don't let it pass. God chooses a little blessing here and there. Someone says a kind word here and there. Someone points out something to us. God just shows us something that He actually made. Points out, reminds us of Scripture. Send your roots out. Absorb it quickly. Don't let it pass because all these kind of blossoms, there's water gushing everywhere, even in harsh places. Every day we pass things that God is trying to tell us these things about Himself. God's always telling us things. God's always letting water pour forth, gush forth, and will us. Send your roots. Don't let it pass. Don't lose that opportunity. That's good. Any other thoughts on this idea of sending out our little roots? Okay.
I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I think of like baby steps. We talk about, just take little baby steps for those roots.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to read a paragraph today. I'm going to take 10 minutes and sit with God. Little baby steps.
Yeah.
And maybe then they'll add up and God will do whatever He does with those little baby steps.
That's exactly. See, you think, logically think cactus has this big hulking root, gallons of water. Cactus approaches it in a very different way. These little delicate roots, just a little here and there. Very, very true. Often we think, someday I'm going to sit down and gorge myself with the Bible, read it for hours and hours, I'll have this great spiritual fiesta. It's going to be great. That doesn't really work. Soak it up, little bit at a time, little here and there, little here and little there. Send out lots of tiny, tiny, delicate little roots. That's the way God wants us to live. Send out many, many roots. Pick up everything you have available because of you. That's what nourishes you. Collect little water here and there. Cactus can't wait for a big downfall. Downpour to have one hulking root soak all the water. Send lots of little roots. Doesn't make sense logically, but makes sense of the cactus and makes sense of God. Lynn?
I was just going to say, I just keep thinking of the woman in the well. Jesus says, I can give you water, living water, and you will never thirst again. And I think that's the thing, is sometimes we think we've got to do something like have this big
exactly.
study thing that's going to enlighten us. I think it's pretty simple, is that always the water is gushing everywhere because Jesus is the living water. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus.
That's very true.
That is all we have to do. We don't have to perform any other things, but when we not forget him, then we will be filled with living water.
As I said, just remain in me. Remain in me, let me nourish you. I'm your vine. I'm your fountain. I'm your water gushing forth in wilderness. Virtue. Don't have to do these spectacular things to have God renew us. Set up many little roots. Absorb whatever God puts in your path. That's very good. I said you pointed out the scripture. Let's read a couple of scriptures about Jesus here. What are they actually mentioned? Talk about the blind seeing, the lame leaping like a deer. Take a look at Matthew 11. While we're doing that, Donna, can you look up John chapter 4 for us? These images, the first one, Jesus pointed out to his people, someone, John asked him, are you the one we're waiting for? Jesus says, doesn't say yes or no, actually says, look around, see the blind seeing, the lame having strength. What do you think? Jesus' message is not only to heal the physically lame, it also heals the spiritually lame. People lame, our spirits can become very lame, very weak, very weary. God can renew them. Sometimes our eyes become blind, forget what we're actually seeing in front of us, seeing the signs God gives us. God can open our eyes. With this in mind, let's read, this is Matthew 11. Dot, you have this? Read this?
Yes.
Verses 4 to 6 of Matthew 11 for us.
Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me.
It says, look around you. Look around us too. Look, even in our room, we see people in the room. God has healed us from incurable sins. Give us some blessings that only come from God. Not spectacular things that we're talking about. Nothing is spectacular. Something meaningful and important to each one of us. Each one of us heals us wounds that no one else could have healed. Gives us a meaning in our life, a meaning that doesn't depend on worldly things. Gives us a purpose for being here. Something giving hope that transcends worldly events. Whatever happens in this world, the world can't take away the blessings God wants to give us. As Jesus said at the end of that, what did he say at the end of scripture Dot just read? Let no one stumble on account of me. The stumbling stone is often people expect certain things of Jesus. Jesus doesn't give us things we really want, our flesh wants. Jesus gives us the things we really needed. And we're very blessed that he does that. We're very blessed Jesus doesn't give us all kind of houses and cars, things like that, because it gives us what we really need to sustain us. Let's read the other scripture. Scriptures talk about, Lynn just pointed this out a couple of minutes ago. Read John 4, verses 13 to 14 for us.
Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Two promises there. First promise is drink this water, never get thirsty. It will sustain you your whole life. Water flows within you. What's the other half of the promise that Donna just read?
Eternal life.
Eternal life is part of it, verse 2. A spring of life within you. you drink this water, you have within you a spring of water that brings eternal life. A spring of water within you. Think about it, an image. What is living within you?
Source of life.
Yeah. You see, God just doesn't just give her flesh a day off, get some nice rest. Actually, puts a source of life, a spring water, spring of life, the Spirit living within us. Once again, we're all pondering because one of the things kind of has that mystical sense, but something really reminds us, God really lives in us. If nothing else, God accepts us. He wants to live within us. God found us worthwhile to live within us. If we're important to God, make us home with us, as Jesus once said. That's all God really wants to do for us. Again, nothing spectacular, that one-time fiesta, just send out little roots, absorb the things that God is telling you. Put together one step at a time. The cactus, after a downpour, sends all these delicate roots. How does it find itself? All of a sudden, find its stem full of water. But a gallon of God with a little bit at a time. The cactus not reliant on having one big gulp of water, many little drinks of water. All of a sudden, the cactus find itself, I'm pretty full now. I'm refreshed, I'm renewed, I'm reassured. Takes in little doses. Human nature, of course, wants to do with one spectacular feat, fix this thing. God's way is, no, don't rely on that. Send out little roots, nourish yourself here and there. Eventually, wake up one morning to realize, God has been very good to me. How about this? Surprising, because once again, we see God's splendor because something that only come from God. We'll come back to the cactus one more time, but say, go to read the rest of this chapter first about this highway. Highway of the redeemed. So, starting in verse 8. Can you read this, Linda? Verses 8 to 10 of Isaiah 35 for us.
8 to 10?
Yeah.
A road will be there in a way. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks the path. Even the fool will not go astray. There will be no lion there, and no vicious beast will go up on it. They will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk on it. And the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come to Zion with singing, crowned with unending joy. Joy and gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee.
Thank you. This image is, of course, this highway. God's promise, we've seen this image before a couple times in Isaiah, already told us there will be a highway. All we have to do, reach out for God and seek Him, you'll find this highway. God will show you this highway. Highway is a metaphor for God clears a path, you can see Him, find Him, come to Him. God's promise, seek me with your heart, you will find me. On this way of holiness, adds many, many more blessings along with it. The blessing of this highway, of course, will come fully realized when we're finally with God in eternity. But even now, we're already walking on this highway. This highway through what? The desert, the wasteland. One side see dreariness, other side see wild beast, but on the highway of holiness, God's highway, what we find? Peace, harmony, reassurance, security. Look at the things He promises us. What do you think about that? Gloria, can you look up First John chapter 1 for us? Have it ready in a minute. What blessings is it that come with walking on this highway?
We're made holy.
Made holy, of course. Way of holiness. I call it the way of holiness. We didn't get on the highway because we lived meritorious lives because God considered us. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm going to make you holy. I declare you my own child. Very good. What else?
Back in 33, it said the highways are deserted. No travelers are on the roads.
That's the world's highways. They're empty. This is a different highway.
Well, is that maybe before Christ?
It surely could be, because that metaphor says right now no one seems to be following Jesus, following God. But God could call people a highway. Highway here is a different kind of metaphor to remind us, when you seek me, you will find this highway. What's waiting for us on the highway? Someone just mentioned we'd be made holy as part of it. What else do we see on this highway?
Safety.
Protect. There's no ravenous beasts are going to be lurching out at you. No ravenous beasts all pounce on you, swallow you up. Not going to be there. They will not be found there. What else?
No others who are redeemed.
Exactly. So be one with other redeemed people. Nothing unclean is going to be there. Nothing wicked. So absence, the good things that have absence of, so nothing bad there. Just to sit around, okay, good, nothing bad going on. Good enough, I guess. Any positive side?
Oh, there's going to be, he said there's going to be everlasting joy. So
sure.
His joy that he's placed in.
Sure. A joy that lasts. A gladness that lasts. A singing that lasts. Not just singing about what happened today. A singing that lasts forever. A joy that comes from knowing I have a forever home. Home with God forever. The images, nothing unclean there. Of course, we're walking on this highway right now, but are we completely clean? I don't think so. The little wickedness in each of our hearts, uncleanness on us. Oh, have we missed the highway? Let's have Glory read something for us. Might resolve this conundrum. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7 for us.
This is what we heard him tell us. We are passing it on to you. God is light. There is no darkness in him. If we say we are joined together with him, but live in darkness, we are telling a lie. We are not living the truth. If we live in the light as he is in the light, we share what we have in God with each other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, makes our lives clean from all sin.
Thank you. God says, no one on a highway can live in the darkness. No one on a highway can be dirty. Uh-oh. So what were we going to do about it? What can we do about this?
Join with Christ.
Sure. Let Jesus do it. Let Jesus cleanse us. We could have cleansed ourselves with our own energy. Let's promise it. Don't worry, because Jesus already cleansed you, already made you clean, already given you holiness, because he loves you. All you have to do is acknowledge, yes, I'm dirty. Clean me, Jesus. I'm weak. Hold me up, Jesus. I'm confused. Guide me, Jesus. That's really all God asks of us. These promises, of course, they come with being safe from spiritual dangers goes hand in hand, because the things that may attack us, pretty dire prospects, but devil, of course, always wants to drag us back. World often taunts us, runs us down, but God protects us from those things too. Sing in enduring gladness that no one can take away. And just coming back one more time to these, the image of the cactus. The cactus, once it gets its water, has to keep it for a while. With the atmosphere, of course, a dry atmosphere. What does the atmosphere want to do with this water?
Guzzle it.
Sure. All this water, what does this dry air want to do with this water? We want that air. We want that water. Cactus protects this water in a number of ways. Cactus, its stems are very hollow, very flexible. Well, a cactus, at driest times, that be kind of narrow, all of a sudden absorb this water, stem expands, full up with water. This kind of cactus hold up to 200 gallons of water all at once. It protects us with many things. Well, the most famous feature of cactus is covered with little spines, little pinpricks. Protected from any animal wants to have a drink. Also, serve more purposes of protection, because especially the golden bear cactus, these little spines cover the whole thing, because they can create a layer of air, keep the air in. The spines of this golden bear cactus create a layer of air, so nothing can escape from the cactus. Other cactuses also have different ways of doing things. The stems are very thick and covered with wax. Wax on the outside. Wax seals in the water. Now, see if you could apply this. God says, you're going to be safe from danger. No one can take your water away from you. Now, spines, of course, going to want to pricking people the spines and defend ourselves. Also, don't want to insulate us from the world. Don't want to talk with anyone. Don't want to be with any of these evil people out there. So set aside those things. What other ways can we protect this water that God gives us without separating ourselves from the world, because we're still stuck where?
In the
desert. Can't get away from the cactus. Can't pick up roots and go someplace else. It's stuck in the desert. We too are stuck in the desert. So how can we protect this water that God gives us? A few minutes ago, I talked about how we can collect it. Now, how can we protect it?
Tough question.
Yeah.
Stay connected to God. You know, read His Word, pray.
God protects us, doesn't He? Remember what Ephesians 6 says? Protects us, change the metaphor, protects us with a coat of wax, thick stem. Protect us from being water being absorbed up the atmosphere. See, just as we're talking about, the water can be evaporate in the atmosphere, our water can be evaporate when let the world distract us, confuse us, but God protects us. God is going to be with us. God surrounds us with this armor. Protects us with what does armor consist of?
The Word.
The Word, faith, trust in God, the Spirit. That's the way God protects us. All we have to do is be mindful of the things, protect this water God gives us. Protect it, because it's meant to last for a long time. You can think about this some more, because I have to wind up right now. Think about this question on your own time. Think about some other ideas, but be like the cactus. Send out little roots every place you can find. Collect every little bit of water you can, and let God protect it for you. Let God guard it. Let God help you keep that water to nourish you for a lifetime. Because as Jesus promised in John, you never have to drink again. Never be thirsty. You have within you a wellspring of living water. Just going to close with one scripture in Revelation. It talks about land nourished by God's presence. Land where the water of life flows freely, where the fruit of the Spirit is given in every season, and where God gives healing for incurable wounds. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They'll see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Just give that a think about, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much for your thoughts and comments. We'll see you next time.